Proceed to order. Roll call.
Director Zindel.
I'm here.
Director Wortham.
I'm here.
Director Matthews.
Here.
Vice President Hazen.
Here.
President Roger.
Here. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Our Marines not here. He would say, attention, hand over your chest, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Next, we have approval of the agenda.
So moved.
I think that there is a change on the agenda that was brought to my attention. Was it
for the ad hoc committee? That actually should say Hospital Governance Oversight Committee.
And that's number four?
Correct.
You're talking about the minutes. The agenda's fine.
That's on the correction for the minutes. Okay, great. I have a motion to approve the agenda. May I have a second?
Seconded by Matthews.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
I have seconded. You missed that. I have.
Motion carried.
Motion.
Now we're on the board minutes. And what's the correction, Ms. Andrea?
No, actually, we're under public comment.
In the minutes?
No. The next item on the agenda is public comment before the minutes.
Okay. I see. At this time, we have public comment. Comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda. They're of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board. The board can't take any action on any public comment. Is there anybody that would like to make a public comment to the board presently? Seeing none, let's move on. Consent agenda, board minutes. Are there any corrections or additions to the last board minutes of May, April?
April.
So
the one
April
25th.
Thank you.
So item E where it says ad hoc committees, ad hoc hospital future planning should actually page 7.
Okay.
It should indicate hospital oversight.
And governance.
And governance committee.
Okay. Are there any other changes or additions or changes in the
Yeah, under item 2, that second bullet point is a little unclear. Where it says Director Matthews illustrated that money was moved from the reserves into the desert hospital program. We did. I think I explained that funds were moved from the reserves to cover some of the shortfall that appeared in the what they call those reports. How much do we need for the actuarial report?
Got it. Yeah.
So it showed it in that, so I don't know if it illustrated that.
What page is that on?
5. 2A.
Okay.
Perhaps you explained that monies were moved rather than insured.
Yeah.
Explained.
It was just a clumsy explanation. And I may have said that, which would have surprised me.
Okay. Anything else?
I just wondered for clarification on the legal counsel comments and reports. Since he gave a legal report on the hospital, so really did he just do a position paper, not a report?
What page are you on?
On 956.
Jeff called it a report. Okay. I don't think it matters, but he had said, I'd like to get a report.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? Now may I have a motion to approve as amended?
So moved for.
Is there a second? I'll second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carried. Finance and administration. We have a request to approve the district financial statements. Is there any comments or questions about that?
These were reviewed at committee, and I'll move it through the financial statements.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving to second page, we have Desert Healthcare District CEO report.
Okay. Good afternoon. I'm just going to make a couple of comments because we have a very active agenda that you have to get through. But I want to just make a couple of comments. Later this afternoon, from 5:30 to 8 o'clock, the board will have an open session, a special meeting regarding the strategic planning process. Both of our consultants, Bobby Wunsch and Rafael Gomez, will be in attendance and will be also making some of the presentations in addition to myself. And that will be for an extensive review and input discussion by both the board, and then input from the public. And a number of folks have indicated that they are going to be here. The subject of East Valley expansion and funding, the board directed staff earlier to enter into a negotiation meeting with the county for a potential source of funding for the expansion. We have had one telephone call, which was a pre sort of call, and then one 90-minute session to begin a discussion. We are waiting for some information that we have requested from the county based on that first conversation to continue the negotiations from that point sort of forward. And we're hopeful to receive that information shortly. In terms of the expansion side of the East Valley expansion and funding, the district held its second town hall on May 4th. That was co-hosted by Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia, as was the case at the April forum. It was a packed room. We were at the Senior Center in Cathedral City. A very, very positive day. Some interesting asides, and I think in some of the discussions, some of the directors that were there may want to share that as we talk more about the expansion there. I think two last pieces that I think are important to raise. We have continued at your direction to have significant conversation and discussion in the community with elected officials, community-based organizations, others, on the homelessness initiative and the new West Valley Homelessness Initiative pool fund that you have approved in concept and reserved money to put aside. And we'll be talking a lot about that. I'll give a brief presentation today on the status of all things homelessness, and then the board will have a, we think, significant dialogue about potential roles, leadership roles for the district and foundation in the West Valley Homeless Initiative.
So that will be at the public forum?
No, that will be, it's on this agenda.
Got it.
It'll be on this agenda in a little while. And the only thing at the 5:30 to 8 is a special meeting on strategic planning. There won't be any other items on that agenda unless you add to it. And then the only other thing is I was asked to speak at the Desert Regional Medical Center Governing Board meeting last week. We had a very, very robust discussion on the mission and the board's new vision and our strategic planning process, a significant discussion about lease compliance policy, and the new Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee. And so I appreciate that, and thank Michelle for and Dr. Bakta for working that out. So those are just some things that will all be discussed pretty much through this agenda, but just to give you some of the highlights.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Any update on the some of the questions, public comments, questions that were raised last time?
Yes. The questions, there was a letter that was sent. I can go grab it. I don't have it sitting in front of me, but there were several questions asked by Mr. Kaufman, and legal counsel sent that letter out yesterday to him answering those questions.
That was about the open meetings, right, for the hospital?
It was, he actually, that was a couple days ago. So open meetings regarding the hospital, discussions about the capital improvement list and the definition of capital improvements, and we'll provide that to you. He's been provided.
So those were all answered? Okay.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, I have a comment to make. I don't believe the, with regard to the capital investment, it was answered. The board has known, and staff has known for more than a year, that we do not have a Schedule 14.0 million, and that, except for this last fiscal year, the lessee never made any of the annual certifications that have been meeting Schedule 14.0 million. So we've known that for a long time, and basically all the letter from Mr. Scott did was reiterate, yeah, we looked through the files and we still can't find it. I am willing to stipulate to any definition that makes any kind of sense as to what a capital investment is. Mr. Scott's definition in his letter was fine. The OSHPD's definition would be fine with me. I would just like to see this thing get adjudicated and straightened out. Otherwise, it looks like a significant public inurement.
Okay, we'll take that under consideration to get a response to you, Mr. Kaufman.
Thank you.
Anything else? Moving on, we have Desert Regional Medical Center Interim CEO Report. Ms. Finney, welcome.
I actually have several items to update you on. I've roughly been in town for about 2.5 months, and I think we have evolved from working on it to actually completing a few things. So I wanted to share with you that we have completed the preventative maintenance over 1,000 pieces of IV pumps. That project has now been completed. Through our GIMBA and safety huddle, some of the staff pointed out some of the transport gurney mattresses that needed to be replaced, so that we have completed the replacement process on those mattresses that were identified. We're also holding gurney mattresses in the central storeroom so that we can have a stock supply to be able to replace on the on immediate notification. The One Central, we refer to One Central, and that's a inpatient unit that is used a lot for overflow patients. We have some staff identify and make requests that we upgrade the monitoring system so that certain elements would display not only in the patient room but also at the central station. That work has been complete. That is the unit that we took out of service, did a complete cleaning, and then did rewiring to allow for us to have the additional central monitoring. Another area, and I probably shouldn't say this in a joking way, but the facility refers to it as dust bunnies. We have completed the cleaning of our ducts and labor and delivery, the NICU, the critical care unit, and sterile processing area, and we are about ready to embark upon completing the duct cleaning for the Sinatra Towers. One of the areas that I think you've had some previous conversation that I want to make you aware of is we have been formally approved for the $4.4 million to replace the sterilizer system in the main OR central sterile. Is as we are looking through OSHPOD and equipment selection, we went ahead and did some interim modifications. And some of those interim modifications include installing a new washer that is fresh water pumped direct out to a new water source. We've also gone ahead and changed our sterile wrap to a wrapless system. And to try to describe that, instead of having trays that you have the cloths and the wrap and then you put them inside the sterilizer after they've been washed, these are self-contained units where you have the container, you set the tray inside the container, you put a lid on top of it, you have a sterile indicator outside and a sterile indicator inside, you run it through a sterilizer, and then you put it as a contained unit on your racks, and when you pull the tray for a surgical procedure, you just pull it, you take it into the room, and then they open the lid and pull the container out of the self-contained unit. So that will require a lot of in-service and changing the policies and procedures, so we are in the process of doing that. Also, as part of that wrapless system, we've been inventorying and replacing a good number of surgical instruments, and we have been acquiring instrumentation for new trays that correlates with the type of surgical cases we are currently doing. And by that I mean, if we have more orthopedic cases, then you need more ortho trays. We might be doing less retinal cases, so we don't need more retinal trays. And we make adjustments based off of where our actual volumes and actual needs are. And as of Monday, we started our painting, deco guarding, and sink replacement in the operating room. So it's an aesthetic upgrade, including replacing the porcelain sinks with stainless steel sinks. That'll take us about 4 to 6 weeks to work through all of the operating rooms. Obviously, we only take down one OR at a time as we move forward. And continuing to assess the cleanliness of the environment, we did make some modifications to the EVS schedules to repurpose some of the staff from the general administrative areas to the patient care areas. And the last item really that I just wanted to share with you is, I think we had sent you out a note that we had a Southern California Medicine transformer blow. And there's three transformers in the vault. The middle transformer lost power. We went about 2 days on emergency generators. They worked wonderfully well. So that was a good test for us. We were able to do our emergency load tests, as well as do a disaster triage exercise. Edison did make the determination that because of the age of the transformers, that they prefer to replace all three of the transformers. So they elected to do an above-ground temporary transformer while they fashion the replacement transformers that will go down into the vault. They're expecting that we will have those transformers in about 60 days that will actually go into the vault. The facility is fully fed and fully functional with the above ground transformers that Edison installed. We did, for the 2 days that we were on emergency power, reduce our load by delaying elective cases, so we actually canceled and rescheduled a lot of elective procedures, because you do, when you're running on generator power, you do want to be cautious to make sure that you're using your energy wisely. And it functioned very well. I would say the only glitch that we had was Edison brought in a little more trucking materials than we were expecting, and so it pretty much took the Chiba Street down for a couple of days while they were craning in and hooking up the emergency power. So if there's any questions?
There are any questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
The last meeting, you mentioned the administrative penalty assessed by the California Department of Public Health.
Yes.
And I have two questions. It's related to a CBC line, emboli. That's kind of described as a never event in patient safety literature. So I have two questions associated. First, how did this happen? And second, why did you appeal the penalty?
Why didn't we?
Why did you?
We appealed the penalty due to the calculation.
You thought $125,000 was too high?
It is set in regulation on how the penalty is supposed to be calculated, and that was the basis of the appeal. For us to just determine whether the calculation of the penalty was done correctly. And I can't. Wasn't here at the time. It was a 2014 event. I took a look at the plan of corrective action. I made sure that the plan of correction that was put in place as a result of the event was sustained over time. And I did validate that the corrections were sustained over time.
So the only basis for the appeal was the amount of penalty and its calculation.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Anything else for Ms. Finney? Desert Regional Medical Center Governing Board of Directors report. Dr. Sandel, do you have anything to report?
Yeah, I'll just add a couple things to what Michelle did. As Herb said, he gave a presentation at the board. It was very well received about our strategic planning and questions about expansion of the district. There were quite a few questions questioning what was going on about the lease, and Herb explained that we weren't talking about it right now. There really wasn't any information about that. A couple things that Michelle actually had in her report that she didn't mention today that I want to mention is that they had a annual employee recognition, and there were actually employees that were there from 5 years to 52 years who've been employed at Desert Regional Hospital. And they recognized some other people too. And there's a new director of nursing, you call it chief nursing officer, Beverly Fick, who comes from the high desert, very well thought of, and talking to nurses around the medical center, they're very excited that she's here. I think that's all I wanted to add. Thank you.
All right. Any comments or questions for Dr. Zengel? Moving on, informational items. Are there any informational items to be brought out? Okay. Committee reports. Director Hazen, did you want to report on the program committee?
There's one action item, which is the board actually took action on last month, and we're returning for an affirmation of that action because of a revised line item. And it's for the Gildas Club, Desert Cities Health Healthy Living Program. So I would, the program committee recommended approval. I'll make the motion for a board approval of grant number 929.
Great. Is there any questions about the grant, or anybody feels about wanting to say anything?
Just over the light of the sitting, can be sitting right here, right this minute.
Great. All right. Well, I'll second that motion. Any more discussion? All in favor by roll call?
Director Zindel?
Yes.
Director Wortham?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Hazen?
Aye. And President Rogers?
Aye. Motion carried.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Anything else in program committee you wanted to report?
No, ma'am.
All right. Finance Administration Real Estate Committee, Director Matthews.
So you have some minutes from the previous meeting, report on leasing, and then the draft annual budget, but it's not.
It's not in the packet. Right.
It says information. So.
Yeah. The idea is just to say that we've been discussing a program.
I have a copy. Would you like one? The committee went over a draft of the annual budget, and it's not yet in the final report, but it's close. Is there anything I should add? No? All right, with that, also, there is an agreement for Mary O'Dell, the consultant group, which was $9,000 on page 53 to complete some work. Strategic. And I would move approval of that agreement.
Second.
Any more discussion?
I just have a process question. Did the committee talk about it just seems odd to me to approve a consultant contract for a strategic plan we haven't yet even talked about. I mean, as far as I saw it for the very first time the packet came out. So. Do we even know the scope, really, for this consultant, or is the thinking, I mean...
No, I mean, we...
There was no proposal. There was only a draft agreement.
Well, there was a draft agreement that staff asked her to come forward to do review through the F&A committee. When the ad hoc committee first got together, you as two board members, part of the process that was developed was to have an implementation plan to to come with the strategic plan itself, and very specifically on the programmatic side. And so this basically just says the scope of work is taking the strategic plan, taking the recommended job descriptions part of it, looking at it, looking at what we presently do in all of our program and activities, the philanthropic program, and then make sort of the recommendations as to how to implement the new plan.
Yeah, I don't have any, that's not the question. I mean, the question is process. So, I guess I assumed, maybe wrongly, that the process would be that we would process the strategic plan, and then that would drive what the scope would be for the consultant.
I think 98% yes. I think the reason that maybe we, and I'll say I, put the cart before the horse, uh-huh, is because there is some overlap. There are some hours in the strategic planning environment to work with on the implementation plan. So I think it was something that we were just sort of starting to get some initial feedback how to do it. It's not a problem if you want to hold it up and wait until you take the final vote on the strategic plan, which is June, or after the initial one, however you want to do that. But it's not a problem.
That would be my recommendation, just so that we can ensure a scope that is reflective of whatever the final determination and direction of the strategic plan might be. I mean, it just presumes something that I'd rather not presume.
Okay.
I mean, that's just me.
So,
others
did you
want to?
I think a good idea would be to table.
Yeah. That, I mean, it's not a yes or a no. It's simply a...
Because I think that's a good question, and you raise a valid point. And I think I think there's an enormous amount of work that's been marched to the table. And this but I agree with you in terms of just process question. Why are you moving there?
Okay.
Okay.
So did you want to amend your motion to
the
table?
No, I think we'll move to table.
I'll move to table.
And I'll second it. We'll just table it.
Great. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion to table carried.
Great. And that completes that thing.
Great. Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee, Dr. Zendel and I have appointed to that committee, and do we have anything to report, Doctor?
We have not met. Herb actually talked about it at the Desert Regional Medical Center Governing Board, and several people on the board were interested in actually participating in this open committee that we're going to have, and Herb was very encouraging of that, and I think it's a great idea.
And staff is putting work together that you've directed already.
When do you think we might begin to meet?
June, within probably the first couple weeks of June.
What is staff doing? I'm sorry, you pointed the direction.
I'm sorry. We were directed by the hospital governance and oversight committee to prepare a document that really looks at the first 6 to 9 months of the committee and potential topics for discussion by that committee. And so some of it to be informed by the discussion, not only with that committee, but the discussion with the governing board and input from the public about those issues. Broadly in the overarching is quality, safety, and cleanliness. But the goal was that we were asked to go back is then sort of within those, that's a 2-minute discussion unless we know what's the quality topic that we're gonna have. So we're trying to work on now a document that says, okay, month one quality, what specifically is that? And then build it around that.
So that will come here and then go back to the committee? Or how's that going to work?
I think because it's a standing committee, it needs to go to the committee, then goes to here and back out.
Okay.
You have to ratify, obviously, the board as a whole would ratify what the agenda is for that committee. It's a standing committee.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is Ad Hoc Committee on District Expansion. I was not able to attend the last public forum, but I understand we had a good turnout and good comments. Did you have anything to add, Director Matthews?
No, I was unable to attend the first one. I was out of time.
She's talking the second one.
Yeah, no, the second one was all the great people in there.
Les was also.
Could you review briefly the timeline from now, where we are over the next few months in terms of district expansion?
Sure. The board has, as you know, as of January 5th, filed the application with LAFCO. The law known as AB 2414 requires that there be funding with the expansion. So the LAFCO process, a hearing will happen after the submission and review of a funding source. So at the meeting, at the April meeting, the board the March meeting requested that staff start a negotiation meeting with the county. And this is part of several options that the board's been looking at. As you remember, the board's been looking at the reallocation issue and a potential funding source there, looking at a private funding option, looking at the potential of a parcel tax option, and there are several others that you've sort of looked at and considered, but those have been the three. So we're involved in this negotiation process with the county on the reallocation funding, and that can go up to 60 days, potentially 90 days. It's just difficult to say right now whether that amount of time would be needed. The county is required to go into this negotiation, but not required to provide a source. And so at some point during the process, it'll be clear whether there might be a potential agreement or not, which would come back, obviously, through the expansion committee to hear. And so I would just say, globally, if we took the whole 60 days based on sort of how this is, you know, you're talking about midsummer. I think that there's a strong desire to be working more quickly than that, but that is sort of, you know, two people negotiating. So we made a request to the county for some information, and I understood from just conversation today that they're preparing a table.
So just so that I understand, assuming that, the county will come back with some kind of a reply in July, by July. And then the ad hoc committee will take those results and look at any other funding options and come back to the board in September with what they have discovered in terms of realistic funding options.
If you were going out that far and assuming, because there is no money in meeting in August, that assumes no special meeting, that assumes that it's going to take the whole 60 days, et cetera, yes, it could take that.
So do you anticipate one way or the other we'll lock down our funding scenario by September, and therefore that will become part of the package that we're going to put on the ballot, at least informationally, 14 months after that?
Well, there's a couple different things. Depending on what the potential funding source is, with a reallocation, that potentially does not have to go on the ballot. The question on the ballot would be
about expansion. I'm not talking about funding.
I get it. So if you took everything out to its sort of natural, say we go the 60 days from May 8th, right? I don't know why we jumped to September, because assuming that that discussion's done, the board's been evaluating all of these other sort of options. So it could be a July issue, you know, technically for the board, if it went the whole 60 days. Could also be a June issue.
Okay, but it's the Board of Supervisors that has to okay the thing going on the ballot in November 18th, correct?
Yeah, but that's...
And there needs to be, before it goes on the ballot, there needs to be a declared funding mechanism.
Before
correct,
it goes to LAFCO.
Before it goes to LAFCO.
Right, so that's...
I'm trying to work out the timeline over the next year and a half.
Yeah, let me give you the timeline.
Okay.
So we started a negotiation on May 8th. Say it takes the 60 days, okay? You're at July 8th, you're at the end of it, okay? At that point, because we're looking at various other options, at that piece on July 8th, let's say for sake of that, the district board at its July meeting, based on, you know, recommendation from expansion committee, decides in July, okay? That goes to LAFCO. LAFCO has told us they only need a couple of weeks ahead of time because, you know, it's you know, they've had all the paperwork, they thought that the application was great, all they do is review the funding, and in the law, they don't have the ability, as they usually do, to say no. So LAFCO has to approve it. They may have questions back and forth. So say it's by the end of July, they're gonna up and back. The question will be, is the LAFCO hearing then likely, if it meets in August, would be an August LAFCO hearing, and then it would go to the Board of Supervisors. So I think that September, 14 months ahead of time, would likely be, you're correct in your analogy, would be in that scenario. Could be sooner, but it could go out to September, which is, you know, we're already, as a staff and as a board, obviously out on the policy end of it. The only issue that's really, you know, at issue right now is funding.
So what if the county comes back and doesn't want to reallocate, or doesn't want to fund? I mean, are we considering the options besides that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the board's been looking at private option. It's been looking, so the assembly member put that on the table at one point. There's a parcel tax, which we tested as a baseline. And then there's also about, I don't know, 12, 15 other types of funding mechanisms, general obligation bonds, and other things that are there. But in most of the board discussion, it's been sort of in those three buckets: parcel tax, reallocation, and the tax increment, and a private funding source. And the private funding source is, at least the way it was described, was maybe a five-year funding source and coming back at a different time for a more long term. But those have been the three. So we're continuing to talk and do all the work and keeping in touch with experts on, you know, all the possible sources.
It's fair to say that you were talking with the county to see whether and how that might come together in order to then be able to take the next steps. I mean, because if the county is willing to play a role, mm-hmm. we need to know what it is or
correct.
Not before
correct.
We know what the next possibilities
correct.
That we want to pursue are. So kind of as a first step in the strategy for funding, because that was the first thing that was brought to our table, even before you arrived, was the potential for the county to reallocate funds. Yeah.
So reallocate the current funds that are allocated
no.
to the district, or to add additional
no.
county?
No, what is at discussion at the table is the law has been updated since the last time this was done, and certainly since the time that the district was funded. And so there is a process where the county is required to come and do a negotiation with the district and negotiate for the tax increment. So the county has said that out of all of the money that goes to the county from the 1% property tax, the county keeps some of it, and then a lot of it goes to cities, and a lot of it goes to special districts. What we are, on your behalf, negotiating on is not the special districts, is not the cities, so I think that's different than, you know, some of our community folks thought we might be sort of negotiating with them. Not. And the county has put it that we are negotiating on the amount of county general fund from that 1%. That's about $22 million.
That money right now goes to support sheriffs and all those other things.
In whatever their general fund, because there are six or seven other buckets that the county takes. So this is sort of, this is called county general fund. And it's almost $22 million. But it's what, 300, if you took all of that 1%, it's about 300 plus million dollars.
We had, I think, at one of the meetings, I don't know which one, but we had talked about potential for reallocating the current funding that comes to the district. In other words, let's just say we get $3 million from the current district, cutting that back to $1.5 million, and then getting the other money from the new part of the district. And then as the district grows, we would increase our total. So has that been proposed yet?
No, that's not part of this.
Why not?
This, the way the law is written, the law requires a funding source for the operations of the East Valley expansion. Okay, so there's a part of the law that says that is a discussion that is between the county and the district for this very specific amount of money, right? It allows, it says may do the increment. So in other words, the county could say, well, fine, we'll negotiate for sort of all of this. That's not the county's position. The county's position is we're negotiating with you based on this county general fund, 1% share, 21%, 22%. We have not, in this LAFCO process or in anything, tried to change or start a discussion about any other funding stream for sort of the current district versus the future sort of expansion. We're going, basically, it's been a discussion on AB 2414.
But it's the same bucket. It's unrestricted.
Good.
Ad valorem. It's
the
same
likelihood bucket. Given the pending things that are happening in the county, is that I don't want to see us go down this pathway for 10 weeks. And what is the likelihood that you get let out of a tournament? So that's my concern, is are we being good partners? And are we proposing a viable option? Or are we just proposing, option?
We're proposing what the board directed. Staff is proposing what the board directed at the last meeting for us to do.
No, it was a little wider than that. Let's go find out the money and what's going on.
Correct.
The fact of the matter is the county isn't going to give us any money.
Yeah.
They're
not going to give us
any money. They're not going to give us any money.
That may be what happens.
Well, but...
We've submitted January 5th, followed the law. LAFCO said it was incomplete, so they didn't start the clock. And they've got 150 days to make a decision, which puts it like the 1st of July. That's the first week in July. So let's start with the basics. Is the clock running?
No.
So no. So the application isn't complete?
The application, as they've told us, is sitting there technically not complete. We've been discussing
that. Who's not completed?
Okay. We have not.
What did we not complete?
Funding source.
Got it.
Okay.
And so I'm just trying to sort it out. And we're supposed to negotiate with the county.
Or other places.
Well, it's the county. All right.
But there's given the feedback that we've had and the concerns it's very legitimate concerns, because politically it'll blow up, right? If we're saying, we're gonna, whether it's 2 million or 1 million, whatever, if that means that three more sheriffs are gonna get laid off, It's gonna be a blood year, okay, for the county, and I will guarantee you that the in an election year, I'm just laying out the realities that we need to be really good stewards and partners, and we have laid out a plan to raise money through foundation and other things. And what we're just trying to do is show that there is a funding stream. I think at one point we had talked about, could we just reallocate the current money that we are getting, spread it out over the whole district, and then move forward with a plan that says we're going to find money in other ways, including the other partners that we have. But to continue down a pathway, to think that we might get something from them,
let me take it back for a minute so that we can be very clear where the board and policy wants to go. There's been a several month discussion amongst the board about options for funding. It's happened in the Ad Hoc Committee on Expansion, and it's happened in the boardroom. It's happened at the forums that we've had. And the discussion has been three options on the table. And at the last Ad Hoc Expansion Committee, a resolution was passed up, which was adopted by the board last time, to negotiate, begin the negotiation meetings. It didn't say, don't do anything else, but it said, do the negotiation. So if the board doesn't want to do the negotiation, then we look at other funding sources to do it. So I want to just make sure, because we've had personal conversations. We haven't had board level conversation about it. If the board now moving along feels like, okay, the county's not significantly solvent, and we want to do other things while we're doing that, we'll take whatever direction you want us to do. We're just following through on the directive that we've gotten for the last several months.
This is a recommendation from the Ad Hoc Committee, so that's how it got to the board table, was from the Ad Hoc, from an Ad Hoc Committee recommendation. So if the Ad Hoc Committee
said
progress is not being made, or
progress isn't going to be made with the county. And so we have one or two options. We continue to talk to the county, which we're doing. But I think the fallback, we ought to submit a parcel tax to LAFCO and say that's the funding source. That matches the same thing a taxpayer and the same funds. And I think the board ought to make that decision and say we're going with the parcel tax and meet that July deadline.
And just to correct for the record,
and that will be on the ballot.
There is no July deadline.
That's the correct.
Does within 150 days
after the application is complete?
So if the application is not complete,
correct,
and we go to next year, it won't be a vote.
Right. Correct.
But just to go back, we did talk about this at the strategic planning meeting, and I mentioned that this was a potential alternative just to figure out how to reallocate the current funding. So that was out then in a public forum so that we could look at other ways to work with the county. Because that is the way for us to meet the guideline. Then we have all the time in the world to go out and raise money and figure it out. We just need to meet the letter of the law.
I'd make a recommendation. If you'd like a recommendation, I'm happy to let the board just talk it out now. From a process standpoint, I come in for a recommendation. The board should talk it out.
But do we know that the county's answer is going to be zero in terms of
No, that is a crystal ball. Okay, so I think there are different conversations going on in terms of it's been a several month discussion. It hasn't just been at the committee, because it was at several full board meetings, and we have now gone out to say this to the public. We have met with the assembly member about it, if the board desires and says, well, continue talking with the continue talking with the county, but we want to start the process. Can I finish? Start and put this over here to LAFCO. You could do that. You can always pull it back if you say it's this or that. So different discussion between the substance of it and the strategy of it, and that's for the board to direct us, to do.
Dr. Zindelman,
I personally am not willing to let the county off the hook. They have neglected public health, indigent health care, which is their responsibility, in the Coachella Valley for a long time. And for us to sort of say, oh, we're not going to ask them to do what they were supposed to do is not the way to start. I agree that we may not get much blood out of that turnip, but I hope we get some. And I think we should also pursue the other things. I personally don't want to see a parcel tax because the people in the Eastern Coachella Valley are already paying property tax, just like the people on the west side are. And I think that there are other sources, including some of the money we have and some of the future potential money we might get from other revenue sources that we have that might be leasing our property. So I'm not willing to let the county off the hook.
Maybe we should have the county come to a presentation, because I think with what I hear, I mean, I'm not an employee of the county any longer, but the county is experiencing a 100-year drought. And the situation has changed dramatically over the last 3 to 4 months in terms of their financial instability. And then on top of that, we have the bill that's going through potentially back to the House, but on the severe cuts that are facing the Medicaid program. And so we can go down this rabbit hole, but I can tell you, based on just what you know in the newspapers and not having any discussions with people or having with the water cooler, they may have had an obligation, but there's just no getting the blood out of a turnip when they have a $440 million deficit and they don't have enough money to cover it.
What's their total budget?
I think $4.5 billion.
Yeah, there's a deficit that most of the things that they have are statutory stipulated. So in terms of reallocating money, that is the case that we're dealing with. Now, can we go and duke it out with them over $2.5 million if we think we have the resources and energy to do that? We do, but
we're already doing that in your direction. So if your direction is different, then you'll need to take that action.
I understood the direction was just to negotiate. I didn't know that we had a negotiating position.
Well, I didn't indicate that there was a negotiating position. What I indicated is we were negotiating. Our negotiating is we agreed to negotiate over a pot of money that our legal counsel told us is rightfully their ability to limit it to. We had legal counsel with us, and I think staff is doing what the board has asked us to do in terms of lobbying that. We've not said to them 10%, 20%, 50%. That's all negotiation. You don't box yourself in like that. The board does $4.5 million in grants on the east, and I've heard a lot of the board say we want to do the set in the west. We want to do a lot on the east. So we are in that discussion, and there's no limiting of anything that
we're
doing.
That was my question. Did we have a set position going into this? So if you're saying no, it's open field, and we're going to entertain anything, then I would just like to make sure that is on the table.
Based on the direction that we have gotten from the expansion committee, it's an open field. And we're trying to negotiate a deal, and the arbiters of whether that deal works is the expansion committee, and then coming back here. Suppose we come back and say, well, they want to give us a million, and our expansion committee could say, no, it's two, and they don't get there. Then it does not work. So we have not limited ourselves to any of that, because that's what we're looking to the expansion committee.
But we might get
so
a
expansion committee somewhere. Are you directing?
I'm not sure it was direction, but I knew there was a meeting with the county. I know my understanding is it didn't go well in terms of the problems you raised are the realities facing the county. We have deficits today, and we're experiencing larger ones coming our way, and nobody knows what's coming out of Washington. So it's not going well at the county.
I would,
and you disagree with that.
I disagree because I would have said that to you. That's what I'm saying.
But I think we need to start moving on this parcel tax. And it's not my first choice. But we better get something ready for the ballot. Because June 5th, which doesn't matter anymore because the clock doesn't start, so the 150 days don't start. We are at 500 days until this election. 530, I think.
Yeah, but if we could get $3 million in funding, or $2.5 million in funding, let's say we get $500,000 or $1 million from the county, let's say we get $1 million or $2 million from a for-profit healthcare company that operates in the valley, let's say we get some money from any of the endowments that might be interested in.
We haven't even determined how much we think we need, let alone how much should we get?
So how can we start negotiating?
Well, we don't have, those are many other questions we got to get.
But Mark, you're saying staff's been working, and staff's been working all through this, and especially, I've got to say, with Director Hazen, because a lot of this discussion started when I first came here.
Yeah, I've not been involved for 3 months.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying from the initial sort of start, okay? So I think it's different in the time and the energy that the staff team is trying to invest in following the direction. If the board, let me just sort of finish that. If the board wants to say, why you're doing this, do that, or forget about doing this, I did not characterize the meeting as a bad meeting with the county. I characterized the meeting as a first meeting where there are more questions than there are answers to that meeting. And it may be blood in a turnip. It may actually be something that provides, that's fruitful over a 30 days. But we've been talking publicly about all of the sources that you just raised. And so that's the board's discussion.
I have a suggestion.
Go ahead.
And my suggestion is that we direct staff and the ad hoc committee to wrap up the conversation with the county and determine the next steps and come back to the board in June with their recommendation.
With funding recommendation.
Correct. And then let's have the direction. And then that allow, because let's complete the process and then let's determine what the next steps are. Let's use our ad hoc committee in the way it was intended and ask for that to return to the board in June. How would that be?
I think from a staff perspective, any and all of that is fine. I don't think that's
Director Zendel.
I don't think that's the end of it.
No.
But cutting the county.
That allows us to say, let's remember,
county has a public health budget. They spend, more than their fair share on everything but the Coachella Valley. We need to get some of those funds.
And that's what the thinking was when the application was drafted and the conversation began. Are there opportunities to leverage those ad valorem taxes in a rather than an allocation way, in a directed way?
Or
to leverage and make what we have more. That's the goal. And that's the conversation I thought you were having.
It is the conversation we're having.
So I think let's ask that be brought to a close. And then and return back with some clarity of direction from the ad hoc committee, and then we can have with more information.
The direction from the board and from the ad hoc committee initially could not have been clearer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that okay with the rest of directors? Does that work?
My only advice is that I want to create a win-win scenario, and if we want to go and figure out what they're spending per capita. Wherever they're spending it, that might be a way to gather data to help you with your negotiations.
We've been looking at much of that.
Yeah,
The question has gotten asked, okay, if you're in a deficit situation, but you're building a 90, which is very, 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 very needed, mental health facility, but eliminating ROIs. So there's a lot of stuff to, I believe, Director Zendel's point, that there is a significant deficit and it has to be erased. It does not mean that the county is not putting money in certain functions, or they would not be building a 90-bed facility over here. And so.
Over where were they?
They're doing it at where Roy's was. So people are gonna lose, Roy's is closing. And that's a really significant problem and crisis, and a lot of the reason behind the board's homelessness initiative. Okay, but that facility is getting used now by the county as a mental health facility. So they're choosing over here from over here. But they're spending money.
So to complete the circle, is the board happy with Director Hazen's suggestion that we come back in June meeting and have a final report of the
funding source
from the county?
Can I just get one clarification?
Sure.
And that's that I think, Herb, you said you are pursuing the other options and understanding what other options might be as you're talking to the county. It's not you're waiting to hear what they say.
We recommended to the board and the board took up the action and had polling done in the East Valley for a baseline. It is quite known about what that parcel tax would bring and what it presented to the electorate, okay? So yeah, we've been talking all options with everybody. The only thing that the board directed us to do the last time was that. That doesn't mean we haven't continued discussions on parcel over here. And we could tell the board, we could tell everybody, you know, who likes what, but ultimately you have that decision.
Are we pursuing grant funding?
Huh?
Are we pursuing private money?
Along with everybody else who's dedicated.
We, as a staff, have identified where private money could come from, yes.
Right.
And we've talked about it publicly as well,
great,
as has the assembly member.
Yeah, so it's been...
And we've talked about parcel tax across the valley.
So the taxes, in terms of a parcel tax, are we talking about across the valley or just in the East Valley?
East
Valley. We took a poll on a parcel tax in the East Valley, which we provided back in March to you the results
so,
of.
So they would be paying more money in their total taxes than in the West?
If there were,
if there were, and the difference was that, to Mark's point, it was put at an amount that equaled what we get currently from the west side.
But for the east side, that increases their total property tax.
It would.
Okay, so just be open, and what I'm trying to say is that if we're going to do a parcel tax, should we do a parcel tax in the whole district, much smaller, that only has a small incremental increase on property tax,
and reallocate
the county tax and try to raise that up a little bit, but ultimately it's not when it, from a political perspective and what goes out from a PR perspective, it's more of a synergistic partnership arrangement than it is trying to take raw computer data.
I think it's all a board level discussion and
we're giving you ideas for the negotiation. No, I'm just saying consider those things.
Yes.
You're going to allocate to negotiate. Right. So
yeah. One of the options.
That's one option you should consider. That's all I'm saying.
I'd like to remind everybody that an increase in taxes requires 2/3 vote.
Yep.
Correct.
And that's right. They've gotten the study that says that it would happen.
It was very loosely defined. I cannot believe that it would be voted upon favorably by 66% or whatever it is of the population, east or west.
Depends on how much it is and what they're going to get.
Well, let's look at that, at this, and we'll take a look at what some of the results are at the June meeting.
Right.
And has everybody brought their ideas and concerns to staff?
And I agree, we need to get more money spent here. I don't have seen the per capita data, but I've been hearing about it forever. All I want to caution is that it basically they make the decision on whether they're going to do it or not, and so we need to be prepared.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying we just need to be prepared and have plan B and plan C, and I think the likelihood of needing to do plan B or plan C is great. So should we rethink plan A?
Is not plan A. That's pretty
that's
clear.
That's what I'm saying.
It is
whatever
simply
it is, plan A,
one of the research items that needs to go into what are the... It's the one that we didn't know enough about.
Okay.
And so had
and
to open
do
a door and find out. We didn't know. We'd heard nothing but opinions. So the only way to get what's the reality is to begin this conversation, and you can't have that conversation in any other way than the formal one. And so we had to take the action to even have a conversation.
But they came here and testified in front of the board. I was
and they were very clear to say they were not speaking for the board.
Right. This is the
very
this
clear.
Is, this is the first time in a this is a policy discussion.
Yeah.
What I call a policy discussion in the legal context. We took legal counsel, they had legal counsel, in case there were any legal questions. But it was a policy issue, the way that you're talking about it, to do it. And much of the law, unfortunately, they don't have to have conversations with the district. And I'll say that staff helped make sure they did what they needed to do, because some of the laws would have basically, if it had gone under a different section, they could have legally said, no, we're not going to entertain this by the district at all. There's two sections of the code, our wonderful 99 and 99.01. They're very different.
So is staff clear on the direction? Is board clear on staff direction?
So I'm not. So you're still following the, you're continuing discussions with the county, and you're going to work up a parcel tax?
We've already done that.
Yeah, you're going to bring the options.
Bring the options back.
To the ad hoc committee for vetting and a recommendation that will come to the board in June.
In June, great.
And also pursue private funding.
Those will be all part of the options.
That's also one of the.
It's all one package, you're not going to do one at a time.
Correct.
One package.
Correct. Well, it'll be a recommendation.
Well,
so,
recommendation.
And then the board.
Some people have said, start, you know, Assemblymember Garcia has said, start small. So he's told you start with number one or number two and ratchet it up and come back and do more. You may say, no, we want more now. We want to equal what we're doing in the West, in the East.
I don't know. Yeah, my issue with that is I don't know how you expand the district to the East and then go down and explain to the people there, we're really not going to build any facilities because there isn't any money.
Right.
And we really don't have a plan.
I'm only explaining what's been said.
Yeah.
We've so far been consistent that as a board, that we do not want to expand the district without funding.
Correct.
And raise an expectation that is unrealistic.
Right.
We so far have been
and
pretty
that
consistent.
And that came out at the April forum, loud and clear.
And May.
And May. That, you know, we're not the saviors. That there's, you know, that you're committed to really, really robust services and programs, connected services and programs, but that, you know, we're not.
Well, even
those
more
that
than
come that. In with and build you up.
I mean, to be fair, even more than that, when the board decided as a board to endorse the legislation and even more so, actively and aggressively pursue it as advocates to expand this district, the board was very clear that that we were seeing this as an opportunity to make an impact, a positive impact across the desert. And that, I think, it remains our interest to pursue actively and aggressively the expansion of this district, to begin to plan facilities and services as a valley, and with the belief that all boats rise in that sort of a system. When you can plan holistically and completely and comprehensively, all residents will benefit.
Thank you. Clear?
Amen.
Clear? Do we need a vote or resolution or
no,
is
no.
everybody
that
clear?
Direction.
Okay.
Information.
Shall we move on to the next item on the agenda, which is K, old business? Letter K, West Valley Homeless Initiative, information and discussion.
But I will ask Director Hasten if she would like to say anything before we start.
No. Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to time myself, hopefully, and do no more than about 15 minutes at max. In working with the program committee and specifically Director Hasten and Director Wortham, I want to thank Donna for all the work that she's putting into the homelessness issue. The board approved in concept at the last meeting to do a pooled fund for a West Valley homelessness initiative and allocated up to $2 million for that initiative and asked the staff to come back with a sort of an update and maybe more substantive update on potential leadership roles that the district and foundation could take in this area, in this pooled fund. And so, in speaking with Director Hasten We put together at the staff level a an outline that you have on page 56 of 56, which will serve as sort of the talking points for my discussion on the homelessness issue. This is to give you an overview of the current players, strategies, all the activities that are taking place. And county government by far has the largest responsibility for homeless and homelessness, but the issue is complex and the issue of collaboration, coordination, and leadership is paramount. So let me go through this. So as you know, the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation for the past 16 years has had a deep interest and a deep commitment to trying to battle homelessness in the current district. $5.2 million over the past 16 years have been added to the coffers with services provided to the homeless in the district.
Wait, and housing.
And housing.
And so much of that investment remains working.
At current, what was behind your adoption of this new, what we sort of tentatively called West Valley Homeless Initiative, was the fact that there was a significant increase in the number of homeless during the recent point in time count. And so at the April meeting, a document was put together that Donna went through and spent a lot of time working on, where the approval of a sort of leadership-focused collective fund concept was developed and adopted and brought back here for discussion. So the rest of this is going to be a short sort of here's where the activities are, here's the current players, here's the strategies, with then a final question for the board. Number seven is the notion of potential leadership roles that the board can play, and talking, I think, with you and with the community about that. So Roy's Desert Resource Center is closing. It is effectively closing the 1st of June, although my understanding is some may be able to stay until December 15th. The operator's been Jewish Family Services, and it's closing. That's been the backdrop between some of the recent stuff. The Coachella Valley Association of Governments, as you remember, we had Tom Kirk here who mentioned it a little bit in the last conversation that he had. But CVAG has become what I sort of call the main policy table in the Coachella Valley, where these issues are being discussed from a policy level, and the notion of some of the programs and services are getting, I wouldn't say figured out, just sort of where do particular services go, how are they needed, what type of housing, resource centers, and the things of that nature. So CVAG has adopted this West Valley Navigation Program. We're talking about Palm Springs, we're talking about Cathedral City, we're talking about Desert Hot Springs, and Donna has been working with all of those communities. And she and I have had some really good recent discussions with the city of Palm Springs, and I testified last week at council about this initiative. And so most of the cities in the whole Coachella Valley are adding into the CVAG, sort of pot, if you will. And then ideas like resource centers, the potential to have three resource centers in Palm Springs, in Desert Hot Springs, and in Cathedral City have been there. But there's also a big discussion about a facility solution. And a facility solution potentially in Palm Springs, whether it be permanent or some sort of a place to be able to more completely, in Palm Springs' words, Roy's was only open in the evening. Palm Springs has been looking at a 24/7 facility that would have wraparound services to it, some of the things that we have talked about it. And so imagine that you've got, Palm Springs, and to a smaller extent, Cathedral City, and a smaller extent, Desert Hot Springs,
all working on the issue, all working within the policy table of CVAC and this notion of resource centers, with the potential of Palm Springs to maybe take a facility, maybe a county-owned facility, maybe whatever, a different facility there. Riverside County, as I mentioned to you before, is turning Roy's into a 90-bed mental health facility. So Roy's is closing, and the CVAG initiative, the navigation program, is about $860,000, the way that they've had a operator known as the Path of Life Ministries that has put forward a proposal to do some things in each of the communities and address this. On top of that, while most of the cities have come in, the county has not yet come in, but the county actually has been requested in that $860,000 to be a part of the funding collaborative that this navigation program is. There was a lot of discussion at the last homelessness committee meeting because a lot of people are not familiar with Path of Life Ministries. The Coachella Valley Rescue Mission was there. And so there was an interesting discussion about who would operate this particular type of facility and where would it be. And you might have seen the recent article in the Desert Sun about some of the conversations that were there. And so our conversations with the cities of Desert Hot Springs and Cathedral City have been more of the resource centers, the triage centers that's envisioned in the CVAG program. With Palm Springs, it has been more specific to, as you remember, they have a commitment to spend $1.3 million providing different types of services and programs to the homeless. And so our conversations there have been a bit broader in terms of potential ways in which the district foundation could be helpful. So before I go to what the potential leadership roles are and ask you to, as Linda Richmond would say, talk amongst yourselves. In looking at all of the different models from a staff perspective, you know, we have been looking at the Housing First model that everybody has been using, talking to. I was involved in it when I was at the federal government at HHS. And Long Beach and Salt Lake City, two cities with populations very, very close to the Coachella Valley, have had some really significant medium and hopefully longer term impact on addressing the issues around homelessness. Long Beach, for example, cut its homelessness 21% over 2 years, which is attributed to expansion of permanent housing, innovative outreach, coordination between the city and community members, expansion of rapid rehousing, increased set-asides for Section 8, and some surge grants from the VA as well. In Salt Lake City, also based on Housing First, they have used this approach, 72% reduction in 9 years in Salt Lake City. Now, to be fair, it's a more close-knit community in a lot of different ways. Certainly a smaller number overall, but some really, really innovative things going on that there were nearly 2,000 chronically homeless people in actually the state. And at this point, it's down to fewer than 200. Now that was over a 10 or 11 year, but it is that sustained short-term, medium-term, long-term that Director Hazen talked about, that I think Director Worthen talked about as a part of doing it. And so there are several, this is not an exhaustive list, but there are several potential leadership roles that staff wanna recommend a discussion amongst the board. Utilizing the Housing First model, and certainly as was stated very much up front, is that the largest responsibility for the homelessness is at the county level, and none of what we're contemplating in any way, shape, or form replaces that approach. There is a huge crisis going on. You've stated that. You've stated the desire to do a short-term West Valley and then to hopefully be able to, with expansion, expand it to some of the problematic areas in the West. In the East. And we have four options here. So we put facilities down, options, build and own, leasing and retrofitting. And I think this recognizes some of the traditional roles in facilities, but also, as Director Matthews likes to say, a focus on, you know, sort of more longer term facilities issues. Funding, philanthropic community, foundations, corporations, community benefit, the potential for some on the individual side, public awareness and public awareness campaigns in that role. And on the policy front, with that housing first model, CVAG is expected at its June executive committee meeting to vote to allocate a voting seat on the homelessness committee in recognition of the board's short, medium, and long-term commitment to the Desert Healthcare District Board. And so I've spoken with President Rogers about the need to appoint a board member, and staff will staff that board member on the homelessness committee. So I think I would hand it back and to say we would love to have the board dialogue about potential leadership roles for the district.
I did speak with Director Jennifer, and she has agreed to take that seat if that's okay with everyone.
Sure.
Great. Great. We'll provide that.
In her absence.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Okay. Perfect.
That's one down and three more to go.
Right.
Well, one of the questions that I have is around whether there have been any discussions around a permanent facility or an expansion of an existing facility like Martha's or the Rescue Mission or if there are others. But I mean, clearly, we have existing working models for shelters and wraparound services.
There was a significant discussion at the CVAG meeting with actually the Rescue Mission, because there was some discussion. There's going to be a study session with Path of Life Ministries. Some people don't know them and wanted to talk about
at how CVAG?
At CVAG. And so there was a very significant discussion. Darla, the head of the Rescue Mission, talked about some of the challenges that they've had sort of in the past, but that has identified at least one potential place for a permanent place. So there were discussions about what do you do there and in the city council in Palm Springs? Do you do something now? Because building is going to take longer. Do you have some sort of facility now that's probably not going to be as big as Roy's, but is going to be 24/7 unlike Roy's? And that's something that the City of Palm Springs has been talking a lot about, and I think they all have been. And then also now this discussion is, I think, that going out of the CVAG meeting was to get together and see if there was a potential to look at this land, which was Agua Caliente land, I think. So I think both issues are out there in trying to address
well,
it.
Well, what about thinking about, because I like the outline that you provided, because now you see all the various people that are working on this currently and kind of what the status is. And it looks like where the gap is the permanent facilities. Nobody got their hand or whatever. It's still more talk around that, and it always seems to be where things break apart.
Yeah, the option is more live for a maybe county-owned facility that can be retrofitted right now.
The fire station?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. If it's big enough, or I don't know where it is, but what it looks like on this piece of paper is that there may be a role to play in a facility sense, and to jumpstart something toward a direction, that long-term direction, to get it started, or to make it real, or something. And then in the near term, we have allocated some funding that for those that are working, the county and others that are going to be working on those short-term, immediate needs, those resources might be available for leveraging and matching and
wraparound
services and et cetera. Where I would not like to see the district, I would like us to be thinking about a long term. Because we may be the only ones who can, and attract some serious outside funding to go with it. So that that reality can also then be used to build around. And I think that I don't know this, but I would suspicion that the counties may be reluctance isn't the right word, but the reason they haven't sort of jumped in immediately is because it is one more kind of reaction and not, you know, and not solid yet. So, you know, just like we don't want to necessarily just, you know, throw resources, we want to have some sort of a direction. I would encourage us to identify a role that we would like to play that is additive and that can really expand and make real some of those long-term strategies.
And it's not the first time that this district has jumped into long-term housing.
No, I mean it's what still remains is the project that we did with the Desert Age Project for Special Needs Housing, in as a partner with the county, with a local nonprofit provider, and a private developer. I mean that worked. So I would like to see us take another look at that model to see whether there is some opportunity to leverage outside funding with our own in some sort of a public-private partnership with existing providers.
Discussion?
And we have been talking to all the existing providers.
You know, I hadn't heard of Path of Life, so I Googled it. You know, they have a pretty extensive program in Riverside that are doing, you know, all the different things, both housing and counseling and all that other stuff. And of course, the Rescue Mission has a very good reputation of doing stuff on the east side of town. So my opinion is that you already have some people that are doing it, and they've been doing it for a long time. And I don't particularly want to see, I think it was a good idea that we don't run our own hospital in this hospital district. I think it's a good idea that we're not running our own, or even necessarily creating the homeless solution, because we're not experts at it. So what I would suggest is that we talk to these two organizations, along with the other funders that are out there, about both short-term and long-term solutions. And that rather than us try to decide, you know, do we need a building there or there? Should we build it out? Should we remodel it? These people have already done stuff like that. And I think they could tell you what the needs are, or what things they've done have worked best.
You and I are saying the exact same thing. And so if I was not clear, I apologize. But that's what I'm saying. You go with an existing provider, leverage outside funding, and work with people that are already in the trenches. And you know, add resources and whatever else we can add to advance.
I mean, for example, let me just finish my thought here. For example, you talk about a fire station that the county might, whatever, that we could remodel. Well, I don't know that we know how to remodel it. And I, in a way, I think that the people who are experts in this area ought to be making those decisions, and we should be helping not only with our own funds, of being the sort of gatherer of funds to make either one or both of these organizations successful.
But I think that's the expectation. The cities and CBAG and everybody else has, you know, contractors and all of that. It's the district's visibility on the policy fight, but it's also the direct contributions. It's the raising of funds and all those. So we put the district through your direction in all of these discussions and stuff to spread the word, because you want to be a significant part of the fight.
Solution.
Correct.
Well, that's what our collective fund is an attempt to say, you know, what can we, how can we leverage?
So we'll meet with Path of Life, we talk to the rest of the commission, we talk to all the, you know, city and county officials, etc.
So what's our next step?
Let us keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, I say keep going and when bring back a recommendation, you know, based on, you know, where the opportunity
lies. I think Don and I are sort of quickly forming, you know, where we think maybe some of these, especially with this discussion, where some of that, you know, you said sort of low-hanging fruit is,
right,
could be, and we've already sort of jumped in to talk about a permanent versus, you know, some of these other services. Because we've traditionally done wraparound and all those good services, so okay, we can come back. Here's maybe the first tranche of what? And congratulations, you're now on the homeless committee. You walk out and it's you know.
Thank you.
I already said thank you, we'll take it.
All right.
Does the county, the significant funding for Paths of Life, do you know if the county funds CB Rescue Mission?
I don't know. I would assume there's some dollars
Cheryl
in there, but
Dahl
I don't know.
Cheryl Dahl is here from CBAG.
Hi, Cheryl.
County funding rescue mission?
Yes.
Along with every other.
All the rest.
Right.
All the rest. Did you have any comments on the discussion?
No, I think her did a great job.
I learned from her.
Does anybody else have any comments or suggestions? Are we done with that? Should we move on?
Does the staff feel directed?
Yes, quite.
So here, I'm going to, you hear the notes I made as I went through this stuff. The both the Long Beach and the Salt Lake City program,
yeah,
have these kind of four goals in their rapid rehousing. The success is they quickly get you out of homelessness and put you in the house.
Right.
Yep.
And so it included identifying housing, not necessarily all together in one place, like you need a 20-unit apartment building. Individual houses seem to work better.
Even affordable housing units that are put aside for
homes.
Airbnb.
So that
if you have any affordable housing.
If you have any.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of my questions was the landscape analysis.
Right.
Well, yeah, exactly. There's a lot of parts, and others may have done some of this. Rent and move-in assistance, that's fairly easy and understandable. Case management, that's the county, or who case manages homes? And these agencies?
Everybody, right now, I mean, they send people there.
The providers? Yeah.
Right, but that's, you know, for example, one of the wraparound type services, yeah, Palm Springs has asked us if you help the facility.
We've funded it many times before.
And services operation, which is the services you're providing to the clientele through whatever agency you're working. I think the district has a role somewhere in this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one that requires a lot of coordination with a lot of people. And just for the record, as I look at our budget, whatever, there's maybe a money opportunity, but I don't think it's the primary responsibility of the healthcare. I think we have a role there, but I think you're running out of money.
That's been said.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I think it's important that we find a role that is realistic and additive. I mean, that can really make a difference as a partner.
Sure. Well, even this morning, there, we talked with a community person who said, let us know, a foundation type, let us know how we can help a private foundation.
Right out of chat.
Yeah, well, yeah, but let's not say who it is giving the press here.
We would, but the, I mean, it was
and
just...
And we're not going to say who that was.
No, but the point is that people are out there who feel that the homeless issue is in crisis and they want to help. They see the district offering, you know, a fund that is going to be something that other people can join in and be a resource.
That is one value that our foundation
provides,
is people that have that kind of money have felt comfortable giving it to the Desert Healthcare Foundation because it's very public what happens.
Right.
It's not some secret barrel that no one gets to see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Any more discussion? Staff clear?
Clear.
Oh, okay. L, new business. Is there any new business to discuss? Yeah, legal comments and report.
I just had a few, thank you, Madam President. I just had a few brief comments and observations on Senate Bill 562, the single-payer health plan that is still working its way through the legislature in Sacramento. Yesterday, it was at an Appropriations Committee hearing. It's set to come up for a formal vote on Thursday. If it passes that vote, it will go to the Senate floor in, sometime in June. The legislative analyst came out with a report yesterday, I don't know if the board ever saw it, but estimating that it will cost roughly $400 billion, or to put it in terms I guess we can all sort of crunch, that's about 3.25 times the total expenditures of the state budget in the last fiscal year. Now, the analyst did go into some detail talking about funding sources for that money, identifying as much as half of it could be obtained through repurposed funds at multiple levels of government, federal, state, and local. However, that would still leave a rather significant gap to be covered in the form of new taxes, and it does not take into account the release of the proposed federal budget from the Trump administration also this week that targets Medicaid rather severely. In its current iteration, as you know, the bill would provide medical care to every California resident, including those without legal immigration status. And in its current form, it does not require any premiums, co-payments, or deductibles from recipients of care.
Are they looking at employer-sponsored contributions?
At this point in time, it's not included in the bill. So. Although the analyst's office does believe that some of that addition, some of that gap funding will come in the form of a change in that relationship. It has to in order to
because employers will no longer be paying for employee health care.
Right, so they have, so it would be employer's tax.
Yeah. It is fair to say that while the votes seem to be going along party lines, there does seem to be some public statements being made, second guessing. Not the concept, but the iteration of this bill. In fact, an article a couple of weeks ago had the Assembly Speaker expressing that very sentiment, that philosophically sympathetic and supportive of the idea, simply not sure that this bill at this time is the right remedy. But we're keeping an eye on it for not only this district, but our other clients, and we'll keep you apprised of any saving developments as able.
Thank you. Anything else?
That's my report.
All right. Directors' comments and reports. Any of directors have any comments or reports?
I have just a comment that it is, it's going to be, I think next month, you'll be here 6 months, right? And our policy is that we will do a 6 month review. So we got to get that into the hopper and determine the process and when to bring it forward on an agenda. But that was added in a new policy last year, I think. And you're the first to have a chance to implement that policy, but I didn't want to let that time pass without at least start ahead of time so that we can at least figure out the process and schedule and all the rest.
Okay.
And we, it is a good time for us to pause and reflect and have an opportunity to talk about how things are going and from your vantage point as well.
Would you like me to work with legal to figure that out?
I think that the policy does, that's what the policy contemplates, and with the CEO to sort of work out what that's going to look like and what the elements are and how it's going to proceed.
Blaise, you have that? All right, great. Anything else? I think that talking about timelines, at one point in time, we talked about the length of service of community people on the program committee and the terms of service and what that was.
We're looking at all of that in the context of the strategic plan.
Okay. All right.
But there are some that we just want to make sure that we're cognizant of what those are if they come up before that process.
That's, yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. Well, I was just as an aside to say, to go forward, while we're not talking about that today, there's a whole bucket of governance issues.
And part of that appointment of community members were that they would not be potential grantees.
Grantees. All right. We'll take that back.
Anything else? Adjournment to executive session. Thank you all, community people, for attending. And we'll take a 5-minute break.
Yeah. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good.
I'm going to go to the next one.